Well, this is the last lecture of this series of four. I certainly thank the Lord for the privilege of the fellowship with you, even though it has been by tape recording. I trust that you have received some help from these lectures and that they will be of help to you not only for group evangelism and church evangelism, but in personal evangelism. I trust that as you have completed the Bible studies and memorized the scriptures, your own soul has been blessed. Some of you are probably wondering about the practical aspects and the procedures for counseling. Because there are only four lectures, we have left most of the practical aspects and procedures for your reading in the book called Aids to Personal Counseling and Follow-Up. You will find that it contains most of the basics necessary to carry out the procedures normally connected with counseling and follow-up. Now let's stop at this point for just a moment. I'd like for you to get your booklet called Aids to Personal Counseling and Follow-Up. The booklet called Aids to Personal Counseling and Follow-Up. All right, do you have it? Turn to the sample counseling card on page 16. In your book, Aids to Personal Counseling and Follow-Up, turn to page 16. And there you will find a sample counseling card with instructions on the opposite page for filling in the various sections. Hold this counseling card. We will be referring to it in a minute. After you have listened to these lectures and completed your assignments, filled in a counselor application form, and received your counseling badge, you are ready to go to work. You will be given special instructions by your local counseling chairman. After you have arrived at the crusade meeting or the stadium, listen carefully to both the message and the invitation. As the evangelist invites people to come forward, be alert to accompany someone of your own sex and approximate age. A special note to you who are going to be called delegation counselors. Delegation counselors coming to a crusade are asked to sit with their own delegation and counsel individuals responding from their own group or their own delegation. When you have arrived at the front with the inquirer, pray that the Lord will guide you as you counsel him. In most cases, the evangelist will speak briefly to those who have come forward. Then he will ask you to go to the counseling area. After you have accompanied the inquirer to the counseling area, you should first introduce yourself to him, ask for his name, and write it on the appropriate place on the counseling card so that you can use it in conversation. Be sure to mark Mr., Mrs., or Miss and get the full address. Assure him that all the information given is confidential and that it is necessary to help and follow up. Do not fill in any more of the card until you have a chance to ask some questions. As we approach the procedures in counseling, I want to make one firm suggestion at the very outset. Listen carefully. Don't do all the talking. Did you all hear me? Don't do all the talking. Suppose you went to see the doctor because of an ailment, and you have 15 or 20 minutes in his office, and the doctor talked all the time from beginning to end. If he never stopped to ask you any questions and never gave you a chance to speak, how would he ever be able to diagnose the trouble and give help? We find out the inquirer's needs by asking questions. Therefore, we suggest you open up the conversation by asking such questions as, what decision are you making? Or what was it in the evangelist's message that caused you to come forward? Such questions will encourage the inquirer to talk. As he talks, you will be able to analyze the need and begin to help him. We assume that the person is receiving Christ because the gospel is preached and the invitation is given for people to receive Christ as their Savior. However, it is possible that people might be coming forward for other commitments. When using the counseling card, remember that we want only one decision marked. Believe it or not, I saw a decision card marked one night. All four decisions were marked. What would you have done with that card? I repeat, do not mark more than one place on the card. Did you all get that? If you find that none of the four fits the situation, then use the line immediately underneath. Avoid trying to mold or force the inquirer's decision to fit one of the four indicated on the card. We find that these four types of decision will take care of most of the decisions which are made in response to the invitation. Some may be coming forward for other problems, such as marital problems, or they may be coming for special prayer. Now do you have the counseling card before you? Page 16. Now look across at page 17, paragraph 2. A person making a commitment to Christ, are you following with me? Paragraph 2 and page 17 in your book, Aids to Personal Counseling Follow-Up. A person making a commitment to Christ for the first time is repenting of his sin and receiving Christ as personal Savior and Lord. Let's discuss this first decision, acceptance of Christ. In teaching this course, we do not want to leave the impression that one must be able to look back to the exact moment when he trusted the Savior. The Apostle Paul did have a vivid experience, but Timothy, through godly parents, was brought up in the faith. In dealing with a person who is coming to accept Christ as Savior and Lord, it is good to realize that in an evangelistic message, you will find the gospel presented in a very similar way to the subjects of the 8 verses that you've been asked to memorize in Steps to Commitment. In other words, you will hear the evangelist speak about the fact of sin, about the condition of the sinner, the penalty of sin which must be paid. He will then tell the great story that this penalty has been paid by Christ, that salvation is a free gift, and that if we are to have eternal life, we must receive Christ. Then, once we have received him, we can say that we know we have eternal life. That is assurance of salvation. The evangelist may not use the exact outline or the same verses, but these truths will be found in the message. People will be responding to the invitation by faith. As you deal with each person, use these verses, not necessarily all of them, but according to what you feel the specific need may be. We would suggest that you start right at the beginning, though, and talk about the fact of sin, because one of the first steps necessary in receiving Christ is that the man must realize he is lost, that he is a sinner. Once he admits this need, his need, then you are ready to move on to the next step, pointing out the fact that Christ has died for his sins. As a person reads such verses as John 1:12, he will realize that God will save him if he will put his trust in Christ. In conversion, we believe that there are three things involved: the emotions, the intellect, and the will. In the emotions, we are moved by the facts. A person will say, "I ought to believe." The intellect, in studying the facts, says they're reasonable. But it is impossible for a person up to this point to say he has been born again. He may be moved by the facts. He may even say that they make sense. But the will, which is the hardest to be moved, must finally say, "I will receive him." Not until he moves to this point, when he says, "I will receive him," is a person actually born again. Have you ever noticed a young man who is madly in love? He may have a great emotional stirring. He may even be in a flat spin with no rudder control, but that man is still not married. He may even come to the point of giving intellectual assent and saying, "Honey, this thing makes sense. We ought to get married." But he still isn't married. Not until they stand before witnesses and he bends his will to hers and says, "I do," that moment and not before, is that man married. So it is at conversion. We may have a great emotional stirring after we have heard the facts that Jesus Christ died for us and is willing to forgive us our sins. But this still doesn't mean we've been born into the family of God. And with the intellect, we may say, "This thing makes sense. I ought to receive Christ." But he still has not bent his will or committed himself until he finally says, "I do receive him as my personal Savior." Then, and not before then, is he born again. If, after presenting the facts, you definitely see that a person wants to receive Christ as Savior, and is ready without having any pressure put on him, then we suggest that you lead the inquirer into a prayer such as the one suggested in your Bible study booklet on page 55. In the Bible study booklet, page 55. This is a suggested prayer outline that the inquirer can repeat after you. Phrase at a time. You remember? It starts out, "Dear God," and then the inquirer follows, "Dear God, thank you for your great love for me. Thank you for your great love for me," and so forth. After the inquirer has received Christ and has prayed after you, I would suggest that you then open the Bible study, turn to the inside front cover, and have him read aloud to you my personal commitment. It starts out by saying, "Confessing that I am a sinner and believing that Jesus Christ died for me, by God's grace, I now turn from my sins and receive Christ as my own personal Savior." When dealing with a person, I would strongly recommend that you let him read the verses rather than quoting the verses to him. We are told that there are approximately 70% more nerves connected to the eyes than to the ears. The inquirer will get much more if he reads the verses of Scripture for himself. If you have memorized the verses and the references, you can readily turn to them. Now I want each of you to get out your Bible study booklet. Get out your Bible study booklet and turn to lesson number 1 on page 9. Get your Bible study booklet, turn to lesson 1, page 9. Lesson number 1 is called Steps to Commitment. The first question, what does God say about the fact of sin? Have the reference ready. That is, turn to it in the Scriptures and have it ready for the inquirer to read. Give the inquirer a pen or pencil, and after he has read this verse, have him fill in the answer. I suppose by now you have recognized that the first 8 questions in Lesson 1 are questions on the verses you have been memorizing in the Steps to Commitment outline. We have purposely designed the memorizing to correspond with the first lesson. This helps to crystallize the meaning of commitment. I would now like to move to the second decision on the counseling card called Assurance of Salvation. As you read the instructions for the acceptance of Christ, you remember it said, a person making a commitment to Christ for the very first time is repenting of his sin and receiving Christ as personal Savior and Lord. But now we are speaking of assurance of salvation, which is discussed in paragraph 3, page 17. You want to turn back to it in your book, Aids to Personal Counseling and Follow-Up, page 17, paragraph 3. Since the invitation has been given to receive Christ as Savior, it is possible that a person will respond simply because he doesn't know for sure if he is God's child. A person who has heard the gospel and believes he knows what it means to receive Jesus Christ often lacks the basic assurance from the Scripture that God has forgiven his sin and given him eternal life. To help determine if he needs salvation, start at the beginning and go through the Steps to Commitment outline. If the decision is for assurance, then I would suggest that you follow this plan. Briefly review one or two of the verses in the plan of salvation. Then turn to Lesson 1 of the Bible study on page 9 and have the inquirer fill in the answers to questions 6, 7, and 8. In dealing with a person for assurance, I would turn to Lesson 1, page 9, and have the inquirer fill in the answers to questions 6, 7, and 8. Then on the next page of the study, page 10, you may want to show him the sketch of those not of God and those of God, especially verse John 5:24. From John 5:24, you can draw 3 things to his attention. Number 1, he has heard the word. 2, he says that he believes. 3, what does he have? The Scripture says that if any man has heard the word and believes, then at that moment he has eternal life. Draw attention to the fact that he has passed from death unto life. Then have him fill in the answer to question 11. Question 11. Have you passed from death unto life? Yes or no? After you have finished and have had prayer with him, ask him how he knows he is a child of God. We want him to say he knows he's a child of God because the Bible says so. Tell him his feelings may change from day to day. Remember, God said it in the Bible. Christ did it on the cross. I believe it, and that settles it. Regardless of the type of decision an individual may be making, whether it is for acceptance or assurance or whatever, always point out the need for him to start immediately on his Bible study, that his soul might be strengthened. Now let's move on to the next decision listed on the counseling card, restoration. Restoration. As we have mentioned before, take nothing for granted. Always be sure. A person may come for what he thinks is restoration when actually he has never received Christ as Savior. Again, start out by asking a question such as, what decision did you have in mind as you came forward? Or you might even ask, have you come to receive Christ? If he answers no, and you ask him how he knows he is a child of God, and his answer is satisfactory, and you believe that he has received Christ as Savior, then go ahead and deal with him on the sin problem. If the inquirer hesitates in answering your questions, check him on salvation, that is, starting on the plan of salvation, and the verses on steps to commitment. In restoration, a person has definitely committed his life to Christ and knows it. However, sin has come into his life, and now he is coming back to God for forgiveness. Once again, by God's grace, he is putting Christ into the center of his life. If you are sure that he knows Christ as his Savior, then go ahead and deal with him on the problem of sin and restoration. Now turn to your Bible studies again. Turn to page 10 of your Bible study to question number 15. Question number 15 of page 10 of your Bible study book. Question on 1 John 1:9. Open your Bible and let the inquirer read the verse. Then give him a pen or pencil and let him answer the question. Then refer him to question 14 based on 1 Corinthians 10:13. When temptation comes to me, what is God faithful to do? And the second part, why? Again, let the inquirer write in the answer. And after using 1 John 1:9, I would make another suggestion. Ask him, after he has confessed, what will Christ do? And many times he will name only one thing, that Christ is ready to forgive him. But point out the second thing, which is so important. Not only will he be forgiven, but he will be cleansed. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, draw the inquirer's attention to the words, God is faithful. Many people do not realize that God has a part. Many ask the questions, well, how can I hold out? They don't realize that God is playing a very vital part in this whole Christian life. God is faithful. He has undertaken the responsibility of providing a way of escape and temptation. Then have prayer with the inquirer. Ask him to pray as he feels led, assuring him that whatever he says, either in prayer or in discussion with you, it will be held in the strictest confidence. After he has prayed, you may want to pray. Then immediately turn to the Bible study and point out the importance of the rules for Christian living, which are given in the letter from the evangelist. Usually, the thing that causes a person to go back into sin is that he neglects his Bible study and prayer time. Show the inquirer the necessity of spending time every day doing his Bible study work. Show him the importance of obedience. This must be emphasized. Obedience to God's Word, obedience in prayer, obedience to the Holy Spirit, and to God's will. Show him the importance of giving God first place in worship and in service. Talk to him about having proper perspective, about the fact that we are pilgrims and strangers, that after we receive Christ as Savior, our citizenship is in heaven, and that we are here to occupy, to be busy for the King, witnessing to others of his great love until he comes. In Washington, D.C., on the front of the Archives building, these words are engraved in stone. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. Listen to it. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. For us as Christians, to be on our guard, it will take constant vigilance if we are going to enjoy the liberty that Christ intended for us to enjoy. Now we come to the last decision on the card, dedication. This involves a person's taking a deeper step in the personal dedication of his life to Christ, dedicating his life perhaps for full-time service. There is no problem of sin involved. In this case, again, however, check carefully to see that the person knows Christ as his Savior. You may ask him to give a word of personal testimony. If he is clear in his testimony, then show him the rules of Christian living as mentioned in the evangelist's letter, and remember to stress the importance of a time daily for Bible study and prayer. Now a word about counseling for decisions other than those mentioned on the counseling card. Some people may come forward to pray. They have no particular problem. They're just coming forward for a time of prayer. Or they may want to share a few of their problems with you. There may be various reasons for their coming forward. We must be very understanding in dealing with these people. If they want us to pray with them, we can do that. Then, of course, there will be some difficult cases, and this is one of the reasons we have advisors. Advisors are usually ministers who've had years of experience, and they'll be able to help you with problem cases. You need only raise your hand, and an advisor will come to your side to help with the problems that you cannot handle. After you have finished counseling regarding the decision, get complete, accurate church information. If the inquirer has no church background or denominational preference, write none, N-O-N-E. Write none after church. If he has a denominational preference, write that down. Regardless of the church or group he says he belongs to, write it down. This will be a great help to us when it comes to follow up. When you can't get complete information, at least put a check mark so we'll know that you've tried. When you have completed the card, and as far as you are concerned, the spiritual need has been met, then sign your name on the bottom line where it says counselor. If you have any special information about the inquirer to give to the counseling committee, then in the bottom left-hand corner of the card, you will find a letter C for counselor. Put a circle around it, and then write the information on the reverse side of the card. After the card is completed, and you've had prayer, and you've pointed out the importance of following the instructions in the letter from the evangelist and doing the Bible study questions, pointed out special things in the lessons, such as the definition sheets and the sermon note forms, then get out the verse cards, remove the first two, so that the inquirer will be ready to begin carrying these verses and do his memorizing immediately. Draw to his attention the fact that the names of the books of the New Testament are on the reverse side of the cards. Suggest that he may want to start memorizing these. In fact, encourage him that before he goes to bed, he starts memorizing his verse. You might ask the inquirer if he would like to have your name and address. This can be written inside the cover of the Bible study. He may want to call you for help in the future. As you are ready to leave with the inquirer, point out the importance of regular church attendance. Urge him to be in church the following Sunday and to become active in the services and the work of the church. After you have finished counseling with your inquirer and have completed the counseling card, tell him that you would like for him to meet an advisor. Go to the nearest advisor and introduce the inquirer. Make sure you have removed the bottom section of the card for your own use. Give the advisor the counseling card as you introduce the inquirer to him. Then leave the immediate area unless the advisor asks you to remain behind. If you want to talk to the inquirer further, wait until the advisor has finished. Otherwise, you may leave immediately after introducing him. The advisor will be instructed to ask such questions as, "Well, Mr. Inquirer, what decision have you made tonight?" At the same time, the advisor will be looking over the counseling card to see that it is completed, and also to see that the testimony of the inquirer agrees with the decision which has been checked on the counseling card. If further counseling is necessary, or if the advisor uncovers some other particular problem that can be taken care of right on the spot, he will do so. If there is not sufficient time, or if it's a very involved problem, he will circle the letter A in the bottom right-hand corner of the counseling card, and on the reverse side of the counseling card, write in this information that is needed. Now let us move on to the next part of the counseling card, the counselor's follow-up report. This can be of great help to the counseling committee by letting them know that you have encouraged the inquirer to complete his Bible study lessons, memorize the verses, and attend church if possible the very next Sunday. You will note in the instructions in Aids to Personal Counseling follow-up that the inquirers are to be followed up in three ways. First, by the counselor. Second, through the Bible study correspondence courses. And third, by the minister of the local church. Now look at the bottom of the counseling card. There you will find a section marked for counselor. Be sure that you have this information so that you can contact your inquirer. And now for your last assignment. Memorize the rest of the verses in Steps to Commitment. Complete any of the Bible study questions which you were not able to do. Review your counselor outline and notes. Review your Bible studies. And constantly review all of your verses. Carefully, now listen on this point, carefully read through the book Aids to Personal Counseling and follow up. Take special notice of the instructions for counseling in general and for counseling with children. There's a special section on this, and we want you to understand each step of the plan of counseling with children. Then I will make this further suggestion for the future, that you memorize the verse cards related to the Bible study. Then start using the reading program sheet on page 63. As you read each chapter, try to find the key verse and write in the subject. This sheet, when complete with all of its many subjects, could become the basis for future memory work. You can always get blank cardstock and set up your own memory course. Also, use the prayer list on page 65. It is self-explanatory. I would like to make some closing remarks which might encourage you to step out by faith to do this work which is before you. Even though some of you have never done it before, I would like to restate that in counseling and personal evangelism, God uses the individual to take the good news of salvation to those who are without Christ. However, the real work is done by the Holy Spirit through the Word. But God needs clean channels through whom the Holy Spirit can work effectively. You as a counselor, doing personal work, would you remember the goal? So naturally, we proclaim Christ. We warn everyone we meet, and we teach everyone we can all that we know about him, so that if possible we may bring every man up to his full maturity in Christ Jesus. This is what I'm working at all the time with all the strength that God gives me. To encourage you, I would like to share my life verse from 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. May God bless you as you launch out in this wonderful opportunity and privilege of witnessing to others. And now, may we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for this wonderful time of fellowship together. As we continue to pray and study, and by Thy grace live for Thee, send us forth as living ambassadors. Help us to realize that this is the normal thing. This is what we have been called for, to bring honor and glory to Thy name, to tell other men of Thy great love, so great a love that You gave Your only Son, that men everywhere, after believing and receiving Christ as their own personal Savior, might live forever. We pray, Lord, that we would never try to serve You in our own strength. But with the psalmist may we say, I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even Thine own righteousness. And may we go with a song in our hearts, singing, To God be the glory, great things He hath done. We would pray, O Father, that You would keep us faithful to You till that great and glorious day when we shall see Thee face to face. We ask it in Thy precious name. Amen.